You're listening to the Medical School Podcast, a show that inspires medical students, pre-meds, and even residents to maximize their medical education. My name is Danny Sullivan, and I'm sitting down with doctors and future doctors who share their story and advice. All right, welcome everyone to the Medical School Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Sullivan, and today I have a guest, Dr. Tommy Martin. Dr. Martin, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Of course, thank you for having me. It's definitely an honor that you'd even think to have me on here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I guess I know you mostly from your YouTube channel, which is amazing, and I love your videos. But do you mind taking some time to kind of introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, of course. All right, everyone. My name is Tommy Martin. I am a recent starting intern at the University of Arkansas. I'm starting here in just a couple, or actually 1 week, which is pretty insane. I run a small YouTube channel called MedFit Faith. You can find it just by searching Tommy Martin Medical Student or MedFit Faith. I also have an Instagram account, which I run, and most of this is just to encourage medical students to live a balanced life of in their medicine and fitness and in their faith. So I started schooling at a small school in Salina, Kansas, where I went to undergrad and played football at. From there, I went to St. George's University, and I was there in the Caribbean, beautiful place, for about 2 years. And then I did my clinical years, my 2 years of clinicals in New Jersey at some different hospitals there. And then my wife and I, we couples matched into the University of Arkansas.
So you and I are kind of both in this exciting time of life because I am about to start medical school in like a month and you're about to start residency. So
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, both are very exciting times and also very kind of scary times, or times that you'll be pretty nervous. But yeah, we're both about to start a journey and another stepping stone towards our dreams.
Right, right. So what I want to do in this podcast or this interview with you is divided up into a three-part series. And this is what I did with Doc Osara, who I had on the last time. So in part one, I want to take some time where we can just talk about like your story going to and through medical school. And then in part two, I just want to focus on kind of health and fitness in medical school, because you've obviously kept that a priority during your schooling. And then in part three, I want to talk about some of the study methods that you've found helpful and how you've been able to like manage your time. And how to deal with like stress and burnout, and then also how to manage or nurture your relationships in medical school. So does that sound okay?
Yeah, that sounds great to me. Let's do it.
Okay, so all right, the first question I have for you is like, when did you first realize that you wanted to become a physician?
Ooh, so the first time I wanted to be, when the thought even came to my mind, was honestly my senior year in high school. And so before that, I was going to be a teacher and a coach. You know, I love sports. I love football. And so I wanted the nice lifestyle of being a teacher, having the summers off, and coaching football. That was like my dream. And then I went on a mission trip my senior year of high school. And at that time, there was a pastor there, and he had prayed over me and kind of told me that he believed God had different plans for me and plans for me to pursue medicine and pursue becoming a doctor. And so at that time, I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy. You know, like I've thought about that before, and maybe that is something I should do. And something more insane is when I graduated, my uncle, he had bought me a new laptop because my old laptop, I just needed a new laptop. And so I was transferring everything over from my old laptop to my new laptop. And when I did that, I found this audio clip. And so just a little background on this audio clip is when I was about 14 years old, I used to work with children with autism. And there was a woman there that I had never met. And she told me, she said, "Hey, Tommy, can I talk to you?" I was like, "Yeah, of course." She said, "I really feel like God's leading me to tell you something. I want you to record it." I was like, "Okay, I could do that." I thought this lady was crazy. I didn't know her. I didn't really know how she knew me. And she said, "You may not understand this now, but you will one day. But I believe God is going to use you to heal nations. I believe he has big plans for you in healing, and you will serve many countries healing people." And so at that time, I just thought she was some crazy woman. Like, I didn't know what was going on. But then after my senior year of high school, when I transferred all those files over to my new laptop, I found that video recording. And that was right after that mission trip I went on where that pastor had told me that. And so from that day forward, I truly believed that God was leading me to the field of medicine. And from that day forward, I never looked back. And that's when I knew 1,000% medicine's for me. I'm going to become a doctor.
That's awesome. That's incredible. I wish my story was that cool. No, that's amazing. That's one thing I really appreciate about you and your social media influence and your YouTube channels is that you aren't afraid to hide, you know, your faith, and you're not afraid to hide that part of your life. And I think a lot of people, you know, they're afraid to put that part of their lives out there. So I really appreciate you, you know, being willing to share that with everyone.
Yeah, of course. You know, I'm very transparent, and faith is the biggest thing in my life. And so I have to tell people what I'm about. And also, I know people are of all different faiths, and I respect mm-hmm. that 1,000%. But that doesn't mean I should not voice my faith either. You know, I love right. God and I love Jesus. And I'm going to tell the world about him.
Right. So I talked about this with Doc Osara a little bit last time, but I was a terrible high school student, and it didn't take me till college and really like the second year of college to get my butt in gear. So what type of like student were you in high school, and what advice would you have for high schoolers who want to become a doctor someday?
Yeah, for sure. So when I was in high school, and actually even kindergarten till my senior year of high school, I was very almost like OCD, like, or I guess more of the perfectionist personality. And so I had to be perfect at everything. I could not have an A minus on my transcript. I could not miss anything on any math test or spelling test. Like, I remember the first time I missed a question on a spelling test. I think I was in fourth or fifth grade, and it like broke my heart because I didn't make 100%. And so I was very intentional about being the best at absolutely everything, or trying to be the best I could. And so I ended up graduating high school as valedictorian with a 4.2 GPA, I believe. And so I worked very, very hard in high school. I was never the smartest, but I would make sure I worked the hardest to achieve whatever goal that is that I wanted to achieve. And the same goes for college. I did not graduate with a 4.0 in college. I think I graduated with a 3.9. And so I graduated with a very high GPA in college. And so my tips for high school students would just be, you know, like, when you are in high school or even middle school, and I'd even go as early as grade school, you are building habits now that are going to stick with you for the rest of your schooling. And so even if you don't feel like you need to because you might be really smart, or if you don't feel like you want to because you want to be playing sports or something like that, well, the habits you build right now as a middle school student, as a high school student, are habits that are going to carry with you to mm-hmm. college and also to medical school. So you need to start building these habits right now if you want to succeed later, because if not, it's going to be a very hard transition later, and that's not what you want. So start building habits now that are going to impact you and help further your goals later.
I think I like what you said about hard work, because I think, well, when I, like I said, I did really bad in high school. And then when I finally decided that I was, you know, pre-med and I made school a priority, I started doing really well in all my classes. And as a result, like, you know, family members or friends would tell me, oh, I never knew you were this smart. And it's like, I was just as smart as I was before, but now I'm actually making school a priority, right? And right. so, and I'm actually working hard. And I think that's really what it takes. You have to make it a priority. You have to work hard. You have to, you know, but basically bust your butt. And, So I'm, like I said, I'm in this time where I'm about to start medical school. I think I have like less than a month at this point. What was that transition like for you, going from pre-med or undergrad to medical school?
I would say fast. And so during pre-med, like I said, I went to school in Salina, Kansas. I majored in biomedical chemistry, and I graduated in 3 years. And so during that time, I really didn't even really know of Caribbean schools. I only knew of U.S. schools. And so at that time, I had only applied to U.S. schools. Well, I ended up taking the MCAT. And like I said, I had a very high GPA, I had a 3.9. But mm-hmm. the MCAT, my school didn't stress it being a big exam. So I just kind of had the idea like, well, I have done well on all my other exams. I'm sure I'll do really well on the MCAT. I don't see why it would be any different. And so I didn't even know that you should study the way you should study for it. Is yeah. I took it, and I probably made the lowest score in the history of people taking the MCAT. So if if the listeners that are out there have scored low on the MCAT, know that you could still become a doctor, and that MCAT score does not define you. You define uh-huh. yourself. And so from that, I had already applied to U.S. schools, so my MCAT score went directly to those schools, and it was on the old scaling system, which was a 17. So I don't know if anyone knows what that means, but that's extremely, extremely low. And so obviously, I did not get into any U.S. schools, but I honestly did not wait to hear back from all of them. And this was around December. So in December, I got a message from St. George's University. And this was the December after I had graduated. So I had about 6 months off in which I was working for my university. But in December, I received a message from St. George's asking me to apply there. And during that time, I really had not heard about Caribbean schools, didn't know much about them, and didn't really want to go to a Caribbean school. Well, at that time, my aunt, her boss, he's like a big time surgeon in Arkansas, told me that I should apply to St. George's because that's where he went to school. And so during some time of prayer, and I was very upset about getting rejection letters from U.S. schools and things like that, I was just praying and asking God what he would have planned for me. And I really felt God talking to me, saying, Tommy, you need, and the song by Hillsong was playing Oceans. And that song says, God, take me further than my feet could ever wander. You know, and so as I was praying and meditating on this, I really felt God saying, Tommy, look, you are in Kansas and you're from Missouri. That's the Bible Belt. Like, I'm everywhere here. There's a church on every single corner. You need to go somewhere where your faith is going to be pushed, where you're going to be pushed beyond measure, like where you could never even fathom your faith going. It's just like, listen to me, and I'll take you deeper than you could ever imagine, and you will have to rely on me, but I will show you things that you could never even fathom. And so at that time, I felt like going to St. George's would be what God would have for me, that I would go further than my feet could wander, that God would take me further than my faith could imagine. And so from that day forward, I said, I'm going to St. George's University, and I left in January. So I applied December, got accepted middle of December, left in January.
So for students who are kind of in the same situation that you were and are considering a school like a Caribbean school or something like that, do you feel like, and they might, you know, maybe they have hesitations or something like that, do you feel like from your personal experience that it prepared you well for residency?
Oh, goodness. Yes, I would say it prepared me very, very well. And I'm going to break it down for the listeners just so they have a little bit of framework to work with. And so I would say that if you can, by all means, 1,000% go to a U.S. school. I do not say that because I believe they give you a better education or help you do better on the step exams. I say that because you will get into residency easier. Okay. And so if you can, by all means, go to a US MD school. If you cannot, go to a US DO school. If you cannot, go to a Caribbean MD school, primarily SGU, St. George's University, Ross. And I think there's another one that's pretty high up there. But anyway, I believe St. George's is the best. Obviously, I went to St. George's. And again, I believe St. George's prepared me very, very well. But with that being said, it was extremely hard. I studied about 14 hours a day, every single day. And I did make it through. Many people do not, just because of how rigorous and how hard it is. And being away from your family in the Caribbean, it's definitely difficult. But it did help me do very well on both my step one. Step one, I did good. And then my step two, I did very good on. I believe that was a sole product of St. George's University.
So I understand that you are about to start a med-peds residency.
Yes.
So I had really never heard of like what med-peds is before. I think I watched maybe one of your videos where you talked about it.
Okay, great.
So for those of our listeners who might not know what med-peds is, can you explain it a little bit?
Yeah, of course, I'd love to. And so honestly, many people have not heard of med-peds, and I'm super passionate about med-peds, obviously, because that's what's going I'm going into. And so med-peds is a combined internal medicine residency with a pediatric residency. And so that means when you finish, you will be 100% an internal medicine doctor and 100% a pediatric doctor. So you are a 200% doctor. And so with that, you'll do 4 years of residency as opposed to 3 years of either internal medicine or pediatric. So it only adds one additional year. And that's super beneficial because you're getting double training for less time, which is great. And also, with med-peds, a lot of the places you'll rotate, you'll do 3 months of medicine, 3 months of pediatrics, and that'll continue throughout your whole residency. And so a lot of people, wonder, well, isn't that just family medicine? Aren't you, I mean, a family medicine doctor sees kids, they see adults. So what's the difference between med peds and family medicine? And so the big difference is in your training. And so in family medicine, you have to do an OBGYN rotation or a few months of that, I believe. Mm-hmm. And you have to do surgery rotations, which you do not do that in med peds. Okay, another big difference is med peds or family medicine is primarily outpatient. Now, it doesn't have to be, but primarily, if you think of a family medicine doctor, it is primarily outpatient medicine. And I would say it's also a little bit more superficial, and I'm not saying superficial in a bad term, just a little more superficial than what internal medicine is, meaning that you don't do the deep medicine or, you know, like all the procedural stuff of the internal medicine, like when you're on the floors. And so I'd say like those are some of the big differences. Family medicine is also 3 years. Another big key difference is that with med peds, you could do fellowships. So you could do a med peds heme-onc fellowship where you're an adult and child doctor of hematology, oncology, or cardiology, or whatever kind of fellowship you want to do. You could do that in med peds. Whereas family medicine, you do not necessarily do fellowships, but you can do little 1 year or 2 year, I believe, add-ons to be in a family medicine. So you can get like certified in pain management or sports medicine as a family medicine doctor. So those are some of the key differences, I would say.
So people who go through a med peds residency, when they get out, do they generally only see adults or only see kids, or do they generally see both?
It's pretty split. I would say majority see both, but then about after that majority, the section that's the minority, I'd say that's split in half that will see adults and see children.
Okay.
But I'd say a lot of people do see both. And what they mainly go into is primary care is huge, what a lot of med peds people do. A lot of hospitalist positions, that is done by med peds as well. And you, like I said, you could also do fellowships. And so what I think I want to do with med peds would be, there's a lot of different things. I'm honestly not 100% sure. But as of right now, I would say that I want to become a med peds hospitalist where I'll work with adults and children in the hospital. And then because a lot of hospitalists work 2 weeks on and then 2 weeks off. And then my 2 weeks off, I'd like to open a sports medicine clinic.
So, just wrapping this up a little bit, we're kind of coming towards the end of part one here. So I understand you're involved in, I don't really know what this is, Strong Docs. What, tell me a little bit about Strong Docs.
Yeah, of course. So some of my buddies and I, in undergrad, like I said earlier, I put on a college football team and I have five guy friends there that were on the football team with me. And we have been best friends since. We talk every single day. And so we always said that we were going to have a personal training business together. And so finally, myself and two of my buddies, Seth Myers and Matthew Brockman, decided we were going to get it started. And so Strong Docs is founded by us three doctors. One's a doctor of chiropractic and one is a doctor of physical therapy. And so between the three of us, we want to start this personal training business in which we do one-on-one personal training. And we also sell 12-week templates currently. We are also designing some other fitness documents as well, which we will be selling. And so the main purpose of this is to help the community and really everywhere become more fitness motivated in fitness and health and wellness. Because in the field of medicine, or honestly any field, it gets very hard and very busy. And how do you maintain a life of wellness and a lifestyle which you could sustain? And so as the Strong Docs community, we want to encourage that and help with that as much as possible. And so really we just want to have a community of people that are striving towards their best in fitness, wealth, and fitness, wellness, and a healthy lifestyle.
Well, obviously, fitness is a huge part of your life. And I can even tell that, you know, from your videos and from just following you on Instagram. So in part two, we're going to talk about how to maintain your health and your fitness in medical school and kind of dive deep into how you've managed to be able to schedule in your workouts and everything like that. And then in part three, like I said, we're going to talk about some study methods that you were able to use and some time management tips. So I think that's going to wrap up this part one of the podcast. Thank you to all of our listeners. And thank you, Dr. Tommy Martin, for being on this episode.
Of course. Thank you.